If you have a copy of God's Word, I would encourage you to open with me to the book of 2 Thessalonians, and to the chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3. We're just going to read the opening five verses of this passage for our message today. Second Thessalonians, chapter 3. Hear the word of our God. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Amen. And may God add his blessing upon the reading and the preaching thereof. The very outset and Paul's conclusions here to the church of Thessalonica, he is addressing it to the believers here when he states finally, brethren, pray for us. And here we see and we can note a point of Paul's humility. Because here the apostle Paul is seeking the people of God to be praying for him. Here we see the people of God is being asked to seek the throne of grace on Paul's behalf, that the word of the Lord may have free course. Here we see the apostles, who is known as the apostle to the Gentiles, asking for prayer, and asking not for his own merit, asking not for his own gain, asking not for his own petition, not asking for what he can get out of it, but yea, that the word of God may have free course, and yea, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. And my friend, today we see this note here of be glorified. You see, the word of God was to go forth. His desire was to see that general call bestowed upon people. And I think for a few moments it is good to even consider the points of what is the word. Why did he want it to have free course? What is contained within that? Well, firstly, note the word of God to have free course, that the general call would be given, that sinners would be told of their need, that sinners would be told of their need of a Savior, that those who were born in sin and shapen in iniquity, as the Bible tells us, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there is a need of a Savior, and there is that need of one who died to save his people from their sins. And here we see that in the text here given before us, that he prays for this to happen, that the word of the Lord may have free course, that that general call would happen, that the word of God, that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And that the general call of the good news of the gospel, that God commandeth all men everywhere to repent, would go forth. But then also consider that the saints would be built up in their faith. You see, it is by the word of God that we are built up. It is by studying, it is by looking at the word of God that we see the holiness of God, that we see the righteousness of God, that we see more and more of his grace, and that we see more of how we are dependent upon him. And therefore, as we grow more and more in the knowledge of the Lord, that our knowledge is built up through the word, and yea, sitting under the ministry of the word. And also that it would equip the saints, that in every aspect of life that we may be geared up, that we may be built up, that we may know more and more of the knowledge of the Lord, that we may know how to deal with things, that we may know how to react to things, that we know that not what we consider what is the logical thing to do, but rather what is the biblical pattern to do. What is it that we are to consider? What is it that steps of to go forward? What are we to do? And what does the word of God best address it? And how does it address it? And what is the best mode to go forth? There we see that the word of God to go forward and be glorified. You see, Paul does not seek praise for himself, but rather he seeks the glorifying God. He seeks sola de gloria. He seeks to glorify God alone. He seeks that God's word would have free course, that God's word would be glorified through God. And therefore, that is a powerful application at the very start, that yea, the glory of God would be seen. Yea, that we would see more of this. Yea, that we would see God being glorified in everything. That this is not the words of man, but yea, it is the words of God given to us, even in our own mother tongue in English. Given to us to read and to look at, not man's opinion, not what we can get out, but yea, of what Christ or what God has given to us through His Word. And yea, that He may be glorified. And then note, as it moves on, be glorified even as it is with you. Here we see a church that was seeking after God. A church that was looking after and glorifying God. And that should be the desire even of the people of God here. That in everything, that God would have the glory. And yea, as it moves on in the reasoning for this, why Paul states this, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Now, I just want to make the distinctive between the firstly, the disposition of the natural man. And what we see of the natural man is, we see a man whose disposition is at enmity with God. He thinks not of the things of God. He thinks not what he can do for God. He seeks not what he can glorify God. But rather the natural man is at hatred towards a holy God. Rather the natural man thinks not of the things of God, as we're reminded even in Ephesians, that man is dead in trespasses and sins. And friend, today the man in his own makeup is a God of their own thinking. Born in sin and shapen in iniquity, the natural heart, and once were we who were saved are as dead, we walked according to the course of this world. As Ephesians chapter 2 reminds us, wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And here we see a picture of the unregenerate heart. Here we see a picture of where we who are saved were once at. We had no thought of God. Our religious thoughts were not of our own. Our religious thoughts were to benefit ourselves. The natural heart in his own thinking is a lawmaker because he does what is right in his own eyes. He does what he thinks is right. What he does in the end, he is his own judge because he determines how far he can go and he determines how many laws he can break, because friend, today he looks at himself, he sees that he is benefiting himself. Because it reminds us even, and I quote it again in the first verse, and you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. The change that has been made has been a working of grace. In verse 4, but God. That disposition can only be changed through the grace of God. That disposition, whereas once with enmity with God, can only be changed through the working of the Spirit, can only be changed through the working of grace, saving grace in a life, and can change that person from the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. From once where we were slaves to sin, now we can be transformed through the Spirit into slaves to Christ. Once where we sat at the table of devils, now we can sit at the Lord's table. And once where we desired our own self, how when regeneration comes in, how the desire is to seek not after ourselves, how the desire is not to seek after the things of the flesh, but to seek to glorify God, to seek to know more and more, not to call to simple, but yea, to be called to serve, yea, to be called to study, yea, to be called to know more. More, as Isaiah saw that, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And how he saw this picture of the holiness of God, and it got a grip of him. Oh, do you see the holiness of God, even believer today? That we're not called, and no, yes, we will not be perfect until we get to glory, but we should strive to live, being living sacrifices, sacrificing ourselves, being them living sacrifices, as it talks about in Romans 12. Sacrificing ourselves, sacrificing our reputation, sacrificing what is ourselves, that we may glorify Him. that we may extol Him, that we may see this God that we serve. The psalmist in Psalm 119 and the verse 136, when we see the lawbreakers, when we see sin, rivers of water run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. You see, the believer should be seeing more and more of the emptiness of the world. The believer should be seeing more and more of the depravity in man. The believer should be seeing more and more lived out by the world. And can that be true, that rivers of waters run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law? Because they see, as the psalmist puts in the next verse, righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. You see, friend, today he sees a grip. He sees the true holiness. He sees what he once was in Adam. He was sin. He was on a broad road that led to destruction. He was on his way to judgment as a reminder that death is because of the fall. And he recognizes that because he has been lifted out through the working of grace, he has no judgment to face for his sin. And he strives to live a life that is holy and acceptable. Yes, recognizing he will not be perfect until he gets to glory. But should see more and more, should see that desire that is within to serve the holy God. You see, the desire is there. Even in the first psalm we read, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. You see, it's a depiction of not what we can do for ourselves, not what we can build up in earthly treasures, not what we can build up in ourselves of pride. But yea, that we would see, yea, that our desire would be on the word of God, yea, that our desire would be looking not in the counsel, separation from the world, and be not conformed to the world, but rather being feasted on the word of God. It should be a challenge to every one of us here today about how much we are in the word of God, about how much we pray, about how much we study, about how much we see more and more of the holiness and the righteousness, about how when we look out into this world of ungodliness, how we should be weeping, and how, yea, our eyes should be fixed to prayer, and yea, how we should be praying that God would even revive this land again. But then notice in verse 4 of this psalm, in Psalm 1, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. That we are not called to live like the world. We are called to be separate. We are called to live opposite lives to the ungodly, to those that know not Christ. And yet should give us a zeal and a more burden to pray for those who are outside of Christ. Because once were we who are saved. Once were we sinners on the broad way. So the Bible reminds us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. In Ephesians, but God, that can only be changed. And friend, today we were on that road for the wages of sin, but it's been cleansed. Because of the crosswork of Calvary, because of what Christ done on the cross, shedding his precious blood, yea, that we might be saved. Yea, that we might know life eternal. Yea, that through that working of grace, we would have an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us. So here we see the difference between the natural man in his state and once where we were saved. And here we see the change of the heart. The heart is moved towards the love of God. The heart is moved towards glorifying God. And how the Apostle Paul can say that, a man who persecuted the saints, a man who was against the church of Jesus Christ, could change. How did he change through the road to Damascus? But God, he changed because that disposition was changed by the working of grace. and how we need to pray even for our unsaved family, even for our unsaved friends who are outside of Christ. Yea, that working of grace would be inevitable in their lives. Yea, that change and enmity with God would move round to, yea, be one that would glorify God. That would be sacrificial. Then we turn again back to, we see then that the apostle writes to the church and basically is saying that all men have not faith. There is unreasonable and wicked men. They were coming up against opposition. And that is why Paul's ambition, not what would happen to him, but yea, that he, through the word of God, might go forth. That yea, that God's word, yea, that the gospel would go forth in mighty power. Then it moves on in verse 3, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. The Westminster Confession of Faith says in chapter 2, there is but only one, only living and true God, who is infinite in being and perfection, a most pure spirit, invincible without body, parts or passions, immutable, immense, eternal, incomprehensible, almighty, most wise, most holy, most free, most absolute, working all things according to the counsel of his own immutable and most righteous will. Here is the God that Paul was serving. Here is the God that we serve of the Bible. And friend, today God has not changed. And friend, today we have a powerful hope here. We have a powerful hope that the Lord is faithful. We come to a God who is holy. We come to a God who keeps his own. We come to a God who preserves us unto glory. We come to a God who is, who could have damned each one of us, but saved us by that sacrifice in Calvary, through the shedding of Christ on Calvary's tree and the raising up on the third day and the resurrection. Friend, today he could have left us. But yet even if nobody was to be saved, yet God is still worthy to be praised. Because yea, he is holy, yea, he is just, yea, he is altogether lovely. Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. You see, that is the desire of also the word as we looked at. Yea, that we might live more and more Christ-like. And we have come in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which me command you. Submission to the older believers, an act of submission to the apostle, that through the word of God is shown, through the word of God that is being taught, that these children of God in Thessalonica would know more and more of how to be instructed. We're going to look at tonight about instruction tonight through the word of God. And tonight, and we do see here very clearly, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Here we see that the Lord directs his people. The Lord chose truth. The word of God tells us that the word of God is truth. It tells us that it is a light unto our path. It tells us that it is the way to be directed. And yea, the Lord will direct his people. And yea, we see into the patient waiting for Christ. That one day the believer's hope is that through them clouds we will see our King again. That he will be a returning King that will be triumphant. He'll return not to be a babe in a manger, but he'll return to rule, reign, and judge. Oh friend, today what a powerful thinking that is. This Thessalonica church was seeking after the coming of the Lord even back then. Oh friend, today what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. Oh friend, today what a wonderful hope the believer has. Because we will be with him. And yea, we will be like him. Just then to close with a few points of application. The first point of application will be the place of prayer. The place of prayer. If the Apostle Paul, who was relying fully on the help of God, needed to ask for prayer, surely we should be praying for our ministers. Surely we'd be praying for the workers of God. Surely we'd be praying for those who are out in the mission field. Surely we should be praying, not that it be a benefit to them, but yea, that God's name would be glorified. Yea, that the word of God would have free course. Yea, that our churches would be built up. Yea, that souls would be saved. His glory. And yea, that we might look and we see Paul's humility as we looked at the start, for asking for prayer. It is a powerful thing indeed to think about that. But it is a powerful reminder about the place of prayer. I believe the place of prayer is the most important place to be during the week. Secondly, the recognition that it is the working of God to save a soul. The recognition, yes, the general call has to go out. Sinners have to be told. Sinners have to hear the message of the gospel that Christ died to save a people from their sins, that Christ died for the ungodly, that there is a way, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, that there is means that for whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but that it is God that saves. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Yea, that would be the case, that we would see that it is the working of grace and only the working of grace that can change a heart. It cannot be the words of a man. It cannot be the words of a leader in government. It cannot be the words of anyone, but yea, it can be the words of the Spirit to convict and convert, to bring from the kingdom of darkness where they were dead in trespasses and sins and transform them and bring them anew. And then the importance of going on for truth, the importance of seeking that the Lord will lead us into all truth. Yea, that we would know more and more of the grace of God. Yea, that we may know more and more of the Word of God. Yea, that it is not called just to be a simple faith, but yea, that it is called to be a faith that would be serving him. And yea, last point of application, a call for service, a call for service. That whatever the Lord has bestowed upon his people, we're all called to serve. Recognize that God does not need anybody. But we are all called to serve as we will be judged on what we have done for the Lord. And the question is, what are you doing for him? Are you serving him this day? If not, seek what the Lord may have in store for you. Amen. May God add his blessing upon these few thoughts even today. In closing, we're going to sing 675, 675. Far, far away in heathen darkness dwelling, millions of souls forever may be lost. Who will go? Salvation's storytelling, looking to Jesus, minding not the cost. After the musical introduction, we'll stand and remain standing for prayer. Thank you. us pray. Our Father in heaven, we praise thee and we rejoice in thy word, Father. And we pray, Lord, that it would be glorifying to thee, Father. We pray, Father, that in everything that is done, Father, that thou would receive the honor, Father, that thou would be glorified. O Father, that we would decrease and that thou would increase. O Father, send forth laborers into thy field, Father, and do us good and continue with us and bring us back even this evening. Shine thy face upon us. In Jesus' name, amen.